Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is John Smith, and welcome to another episode of I Am Rivera Beach Podcast. I will be your host for today alongside Don Calloway and also Steve White. And our special guest for today is going to be Shaq Leonard Jr. How are you guys doing today?
Okay, good afternoon.
That is good. That is good. Mr. Shaq, can you introduce yourself to the audience, please, for us?
Yes.
Tell us, you know, a little bit about who you are and, you know, your experience growing up in Rivera Beach.
Hey, my name is Shaq Leonard Jr. I grew up in Rivera Beach off of 24th Court and Avenue S. I attended the elementary schools of Washington Elementary and Lincoln Elementary, Lincoln Junior High, and JFK Middle School, and I did my high school learning at Palm Beach Garden High School. I was a graduate there, and I went on to Palm Beach State, and I graduated from Longwood College in Farmville, Virginia, with a BS in Health Physical Education degree. I've been in sports pretty much all my life. My career has been sports. I played basketball throughout my young age, starting about age 8, all the way through semi-pro to about age 25. And I've been an educator in the Palm Beach County school system for 33 years. I recently retired in 2016. I'm still involved with the education system as a substitute. And I'm also a choir director at St. John Missionary Baptist Church in West Palm Beach. And that's just a little bit of what I do, or who I am.
Beautiful. Okay, Shaggy, that's beautiful. Welcome. I need to ask a couple of questions. Your family is, especially your older brother, your oldest brother, he was an outstanding music teacher, and your mother taught many, many, many people as a pianist. Why did you go into education?
Well, because as I grew up, somehow or another, I got away from playing an instrument, and because I was into sports, when I went off to college on a basketball scholarship, I wanted to do something that I was familiar with, and because I had been in the health field for a while and into sports, I figured being a teacher of education would be the route that I need to go. Even though my mom wanted me to be a doctor, I said, Mom, I'm going to have to be in the education system for a while. And there, I think I did a great job of educating and leading our young people. I did all 33 of my years in the secondary level of education. And that's pretty much why I decided to go there, and it was very rewarding to me.
Okay. Now, in your family, let's break down your oldest daughter. Isn't she an educator?
Yes. Right now, my oldest daughter, Monique, she's up in Griffin, Georgia. She's also in education. My youngest daughter, Cherise, she's now preparing to be a guidance counselor in the educational field. So, you know, I tease them all the time. They didn't want to be like their daddy, but it seemed like they kind of like followed my steps a little bit there. But I'm proud of them, and they're doing a very good job. And Monique is coaching as well as educating as well. And she was a tremendous high school basketball player and a pretty good college basketball player as well.
Well, you have a dual role in Riviera and Palm Beach County because you stated at the last you're the choir director at St. John Missionary Baptist Church in West Palm Beach. And, of course, your mother and your father was big in that church. Your mother was a pianist and everything. And your brother Marvin plays a horn. That's why I brought about that. And your oldest brother was a music director. And music was all in your family. But I'm glad that you went into education because you're the type of person that we need, especially with young black boys in the school. I need you to talk to us a little bit about we'll be into the churches in about 2 months. But I need to tell the public about your dual role as an educator and then leaving school and being a father, but yet and still you had enough time to go and be the choir director for all these years at St. John. Speak on that a little bit for me.
Well, all of those are very important to me. I was born and raised in the church, you know. I tease people from the womb to the tomb, you know. I've been at St. John a long time. Mm-hmm. As you said, my mother was the director of the AmeriCorps once, my father's son. My oldest brother and Wayne and Marvin, they seem to take all the musical skills. But about 27 years ago, we had a revamp of the male chorus at St. John, and it's about 50 men. And I was chosen to be the director, and 27 years later, I'm still there. And it's very rewarding. We have a chance to fellowship as Christians, as men, and we provide service throughout the community for us, a musical inspiration to everyone we try to come through contact with in the county. We have been pretty much appreciated by the community. They tell us that we're doing a good job, and we've had privileges singing at some high-profile places. But it's just a joy to be able to get in front of those guys, and we keep everything where there's no arguing and bickering. That's my main thing. We're here as men to be leaders. We're here to show that God is in us and that God is just with us, and we want to simplify that type of attitude throughout our church and community.
Well, you know, there's a lot of time that you've been asked to speak before a lot of young boys, especially the ones who think that the only way to get out of Riviera or Palm Beach County is to be an athlete. Although you were a tremendous athlete, and I can attest to that, you chose to come back home in Riviera, Palm Beach County, to teach and educate kids about life itself in general. And you didn't leave out the spiritual part. I need you to say a little bit about why did you come back to Riviera? What was your desire? Was that to give the children that you've been teaching in Palm Beach County, especially the ones in Riviera, that they can be anything they want to be or something like that?
Yes. When my basketball career ended, I came back here. You know, when I came up, I was fortunate to have some great leaders and mentors, as yourself especially, to show me that there is a way to deal with the young people. And I find as a teacher and a coach, especially in our area, in our community, Riviera Beach, you know, a lot of kids today, they want someone to give them structure. They might not get it at home or they might not accept it at home, but they want to give them structure. And I found out while teaching, especially coaching, you wear a lot of different hats. You wear a lot of different hats. Kids come to school with a lot of different baggage, and a lot of it they're not responsible for. So sometimes they need somebody to listen to them and just show them different options that they may take. Not necessarily make the decision for them, but show them different options that they may have to take to make their life a little better. And it is very rewarding. And I can say today, a lot of places I go, I hear people say, "How you doing, Coach Leonard?" You know, and it makes you feel good. They say, "I appreciate what you did for me, you're listening." And that was part of it. You know, like I said, when I grew up, there's a lot of people there around the reparation department that contribute to my upbringing. And you learn things, what to do, and you learn what not to do. And it's just a matter of giving back to the community, as well as trying to help these kids know that there's other choices in life than some of the choices that they are making.
Before I turn it over to the principal of all our education programs, the great Steve White, because everybody know him all over the world because he's always been a genius in giving back. I need to ask you my last question, which you know I'm proud of you and your family because it's just like my family. I've known you all before you were born because your mother was the choir director, playing the piano for Mount Olive in the early 50s before she married your father. I remember when your father was dating your mother. I need to ask you, what is one of the, you mentioned a couple of things, but what is the greatest gift that you think that you can give to the wondering kids who right now need to have more exposure and then more guidance because we are like a village. We got to be a very good parent to all these kids. Just a little short thing again. I need that, that point needs to be emphasized because, you know, when you were reared up about the gangs, there wasn't no gangs then. It wasn't much drugs. And you went through all that. And where we are now, what is the thing that you need to tell the public right now? We need to go back and do the, some of the things that you came up and you've turned out to be outstanding.
Well, the first thing I would say is that you have to respect yourself and respect others. I see so much disrespect among our people, especially young. Whether they have been taught this, I don't know how we got to this point, but we have to start respecting one another. And that means that we don't have to agree with what you're talking about, agree with your situation, but respect and listen to other people. Don't think that if it's not your way, it's the wrong way. That's the first thing I noticed. And the other thing that I would like to imply to them that it's more to life than what they may be looking at right now. So many students that I come across, they only know about where they live in that area. They haven't been exposed to the outside world. And it's a lot of things in this world that you can see and do if you control yourself in a positive way. And the other thing is that you have choices. All situations that you are confronted with, you have choices. Even those that may be detrimental to your life, you still have a choice. And hopefully you can make the best choice at that time for that decision. And so many times as a teacher, I hear students say that I know involved in drugs. They say, well, Coach Leonard, I make more money than you. I say, yes, you probably do. But you're constantly looking over your shoulder. Is there not another choice that you can make? So it's about making choices. But first, as I said, they have to respect themselves and others and understand the opportunities that they have today. They have tremendous opportunities to better themselves in a positive way than we ever had in recent years. So we seem to be going backwards, but as educators and leaders in the community, we got to try to show these individuals that moving forward in the right direction, making better decisions, life can be more profitable.
Okay.
Well said, Mr. Leonard. Well said.
Yes, sir. I'm here. I'm here.
For you. I had a question for you. Mr. Kevely, would you like to go first or can I ask my question?
No, you go ahead.
All right. So I recently, graduated high school and I grew up in the Bahamas. And one of our core requirements was to, do physical education. And I wanted to know, as you're from being a coach, especially with youth, from your experience, what have you learned to be the most important aspect of training youth at an early age?
Well, it's called, I call
sports,
it the
sports in particular.
I call it the fundamentals of life. And I use basketball as an example of sports in general, but I use basketball because that's pretty much my forte. It's like a life. You have to make decisions. So in order for you to do certain things on the basketball court, you got to take the first step. In other words, you got to crawl before you walk. Sometimes kids want things right away, and it's not going to happen, and they don't take the proper way to get there. But as a coach, we start from the very basics. We start from the very basics to where we need to go. And I tell them the same thing is true in life. You got to understand who you are, your capabilities, and how to improve yourself. So I think the fundamentals is the most important thing, no matter what sports you're in, your education, your career, whatever it may be. You have to start with the fundamentals. And you have to work. You got to work at it.
Thank you.
Before Stevie, I want to answer a part of that. But John, I probably have been teaching more kids in the last 6 or 7 years than anyone because you do it year-round. When you're in recreation, when you're in school, you only do it a certain amount of time. But one thing that Shaq said about the fundamentals of life, not only on any playing field, whether it's basketball, football, baseball, golf, it doesn't matter. But most of all, you got to have discipline. Discipline will go through your life from the time you get up to the walk. You got to learn the discipline because you were taught that when you're going across the street, look left and right. You got to learn that. That's fundamental discipline. And that's what Shaq said. I think that if you don't love working with kids, you shouldn't be an educator and you shouldn't be a coach. I know you shouldn't be a coach because you got to be an open mind because everybody got different talents, and you don't worry about the talent as much as you worry about the discipline and the child willing to have an open mind to learn. That's everything about learning, open mind. Don't believe that you know everything. You got to listen and learn and then keep working at it, at hard work, what Shaq said. All right, Steve, take it over.
Okay, all right, Shaq, this is Steve White. How you doing, sir?
I'm fine, yourself?
Good, good. So I wanted to ask you questions to stay on the educational theme. I know you said you just recently retired, but what do you think is the biggest academic challenge that our children are facing? I mean, I have my thoughts on that, but I wanted to hear from you, having spent a lot of time in the classroom with the students. What do you think is their biggest academic challenge?
Well, I'm going to go back right to the first thing I would say about Ms. Calloway's discipline. In the classroom, the kids got to be willing and wanting to learn. Now, it's a lot of things that come in the way. Like now we're in a pandemic. It's a little different. But before the pandemic, kids were not focused on the opportunity to learn. And I think that was one of the biggest things I saw that made me kind of cringe a little bit. But also, we got to have teachers that care about the kids as well. You see a lot of teachers that, you know, they're there for not necessarily to benefit the kids, but they're just there for whatever reason. I don't want to say just for a check, but
paycheck.
You can see that they have to have a concern for their students. Because I mentioned earlier, a lot of kids come to school with baggage that they're not responsible for. They didn't put themselves in that situation. And we want them to behave a certain way when they get to class. So as educators, myself, you try to put yourself in a position. There's a line there between student and teacher now. You don't let them cross that line. But you listen to them, and you try to motivate them to get the information that you're trying to get to them and show them that you care about their well-being. But to get to the student part, I think some of the students, they just come in with this attitude now that, I got Google. I can check, look at anything I want to look up. They don't want to learn the process. As I say, putting the time in to improve themselves and then enhance their education.
So I think also I'll share with you my thoughts too, and I'd like to get your comments on it. I think the children, because I do a lot of work with them as well, and I find that reading, you know, to talk about a specific discipline or subject, I think reading is where I find so many of our children are falling short, their ability to read and to comprehend. You know, I mean, I know we talk about that a lot, but to me it seems like that's that foundation. And so many children, it seems that they're being, and sometimes, in some ways, just being passed on, even though they haven't mastered the ability to read and comprehend. And so they struggle in all of their core subject areas because of their inability to read and comprehend. So if you could speak on that and what you think that children should be doing, and also the role of the parent in helping to get their children to read better and just to be more successful academically, period.
Let's start with the parent first, because kids have to be taught and they're at home before they come to the educational system. If the parent
right.
has not taken time to teach them how to hear sounds, and to read short sentences, associate objects with words. For example, I have an orange in front of me. You see orange, and then you got a letter, the word orange written out where they can familiarize themselves with it. And that's where it starts. And the other thing you said, as they get older, kids know how to read, but they don't understand what they are reading. And that is a big problem
right.
in the school system, the comprehension part. They can sit there and read a whole sentence for you, and you ask them, what did that sentence mean? It's a silence. And you're right. It's the reading aspect of it. But it just has to start from home. I just believe that, and whether parents are not there, they're working, or whatever the case may be, I always say it starts at home. And a lot of times educators are blamed for a lot of things, but it starts from home. And I agree with you 100%. The comprehension of reading is a big problem. See, math, you kind of sit there and count the numbers, but you don't have a word problem. Some kids have great memorization, but you got to be able to read what's in front of you. And I agree with you 100%. And I just think it starts at home. I really do. I think it starts at home.
And it does. I mean, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. And
I agree with
say,
you on that.
But
go
I
ahead.
Would say
go ahead.
Also that you asked about why they get passed along. There's so much pressure. It starts with the teachers got pressure from the administrators from their bosses in the county, and it just goes up and up and up. They're feeling the pressure to send some kids along that's not ready to go. They feel it from the parents as well, and I think that causes problem too. Once a kid finds out that they can just bypass some things because they get pressure from their parents and on up to send them on to the next level, that causes a lot of confusion as well.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. So I think I know a few years ago I was attending a presentation here in Riviera Beach, and this is something that is very critical for parents really to understand. And they talked about the fact that out of, I guess, the four or five elementary schools that we have in the city, how so many of those children, the overwhelming majority of those children that was coming into kindergarten at the elementary schools in Riviera Beach, they were not what they call kindergarten ready. And so just as you were saying, so it meant that the parents had not done their job at home to prepare their children to come into kindergarten, as you were saying, already being familiar with the things that they should already know and have learned at home. So I think, I don't know how we impress upon the parents that the children, if they come into the school and they're not kindergarten ready, then they're starting at a deficit. So the teachers now are having to play catch up because the children should already have been at a certain level academically. And those children who come into the school system that are kindergarten ready, they start off ahead of our children, you know, and I just don't know how we get that across to the parents. But, you know, obviously, like you said, parents are the key, but they've got to understand that if your child comes into the school not ready, they're already behind the eight ball.
And it's a lot of different resources out there, especially today with the type of teaching and learning games that are available. If the parent don't want to take the time to work with their kids, at least provide them with something that can associate words and objects and help them to read. There's a lot of different resources out there. There's a lot of people, retired teachers, that want to help tutor kids. You know, not some do it voluntarily, but there are others, resources out there with these parents. And if we can get those parents to understand that it's never too early to start teaching your child, then we'll be better off. We won't be so much in the catch-up mode as we are today.
Yeah, so and one last thing, because I know Mr. Calloway may want to follow up as well. So because I've been mentoring young men for many, many years, as like you have, one of the things that I try to impress upon them is that many great athletes with the skill set, with the physical skill set, failed to be successful as athletes because they did not have the mental side of it. In other words, like I would tell young men oftentimes that you have players who couldn't make it to the next levels because they could not master the playbook because of their inability to read and comprehend. And so, again, stressing to the athletes that just their physical skills alone will not take them to the next level, whether it's going from high school to college or college to the NBA or NFL, that you've got to have that mental mastery so that you can master the playbook and that you can also read and understand your contracts and things of that nature. So maybe you could talk about that as well.
Well, I think
Excuse me. Wait one second. Before you do that, we do have a caller that has been patiently waiting with a question. So if we don't mind, can we just hold that response 1 second? And if it's okay with everybody,
yes.
Can we allow our caller to ask his
yes.
question, make a comment? Caller, your last four numbers 9830 if you'd like to introduce yourself and pose your question or comment. Thank you, caller.
Thank you, Queen. Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. My name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. I'm calling from Mesa, Arizona. I'm from Resurrection of Hope Ministries in Indianapolis. My question is, how do you feel about the whole world ever since they, with this virus and them taking prayer out of schools, how do you feel that we're doing as a universe with bringing our youngins over, because we don't have the values and spirits that we grew up with? When I grew up, you had to be at home at 7 o'clock at the kitchen table to watch the Cosby Show and eat dinner and talk about your day, but it's not any of that because of all this on demand. So how do you feel that the social media and the digital aspect has taken over the world? How do you feel about that?
Well,
Shaq, you can go with that.
Okay. Personally, for me, I'm a spiritual fellow. I believe that God should be in everyone's life. I always say, if without God in your life, it's like an unsharpened pencil, worthless. So I just think they should have brought it back into school. They should have never taken it out. But because our country is supposed to be a country of freedom, sometimes that freedom choice may cause us to go in the wrong direction. But I think the spiritual aspect should be brought back in school. With all the social media and things that we have today, kids are exposed to so many things that they probably shouldn't be exposed to. But I wish they would bring back the spiritual aspect into school. I know as a coach, we always had prayer in our locker room. We always had that. So, without stepping on their feet, we had to do that. So, Pastor, I'm with you. I think the spiritual aspect should be brought back into school.
I need to say something to the pastor.
Me too.
Pastor, I'm 82 years of age, and I remember when Madeline Murray O'Hare fought to get the prayer out of there, and today her son is a bishop. And I've said many times, if you don't have God in your life, you're going to lose. And every team that we have traveled with or played in league, we had prayer before we got out there, and we never prayed for us to win. I told Malcolm Cunningham Jr., Shaq was right there, he wanted us to pray to win. I said, no, we just prayed to do our best, because he can't give us a win, and the other team want the same thing. But you brought up a real good question. Okay, Steve, and thank you for calling from out there.
So, Pastor, you still there, right? Is the pastor still there?
Yes, he's there, okay. But I have him on mute.
So I wanted to address that as well real quickly. One, my position has always been that you can't take prayer out of school, because children can always pray in silence. I think that oftentimes we say that they took out that public display of prayer, but having a relationship with God really is a personal thing from the inside out. So children are always free to communicate with God, whether they say that prayer before that test comes or, whatever the case may be. So I think that we don't have to give that power away in saying that they took prayer out of school, because you cannot, because that's a personal relationship and communication. Secondly, to the social media aspect of it, I've always said that what has happened over the years, our children have been exposed to more outside influences, whether it's social media or television, whatever the case may be. So I think what we should be doing as adults and as parents is we've really got to teach our children how to reason and how to think and how to make good decisions, because they are going to be exposed to social media. They're going to be exposed to the outside influences. We're not going to be able to shield them from that. But how we help them deal with it better is that from the very beginning, it's about teaching them how to make good decisions. And if we equip them to make good decisions.
Can I share something with you? The reason why I asked that question, because I was sitting on this radio show as a fly for a very long time, and I'm hearing some very strong facts, opinions, and perceptions. Now, I'm running for president in 2024. I've lived in 40 out of 50 states, And I've been on over 4,500 radio shows like this. But a lot of times, if people don't know you're in the room, they're going to talk a certain way. I come from a racist area of Florida. That's why I love my brother from West Palm. And now in South, they'll call you N-I-G-G-A to your face. But it's one of these kind of situations. If they know you're in the room, they're going to talk one way. But when they watch you leave the room, and I've done it when I worked at Fortune 500 companies, I'll go around the corner and just listen to what they say, and it's not the same. So as I was hearing y'all talk, I feel like the spirit and the values are gone, but not only the spirit and values are gone, the kids are lazy now because they don't have to walk 10 or 15 blocks to go to the library, or they have to go to a cousin's house who only has an Encyclopedia Britannica to get the wisdom. They digest the information at 280 characters on their phone, and they're not reading the whole story. When we was getting our doctorates and our doing our thing, we had to read it all, and we had to be tested on it. Now they can just flip a switch, and they say that they know it, and they don't know anything because they don't have any personal experience to go with it. So my final question is, as a leader and an educator, what advice can you give to me as running for president in 2024 without not knowing my policies, but what do you feel like the world is missing from the leadership?
Well, I can go ahead. I'll say this real quickly. I can tell you one word. It's missing morality. Okay. So now everybody else can answer. That's my answer.
Go ahead, Jack.
Okay. I feel we have to find a way to start with the parents when kids are young, because we are nurtured when we're at a young age. We don't just become a certain way when we get to be 10 or 9. We've already had great influences in our lives. So to those young parents or parents who just got young kids, if we can impress upon those parents to start educating the kids so when they get to the next phase of education, they'll be prepared. And then we have to try to find a way to keep our kids motivated. We have to keep our kids motivated. We have some kids at times that are very, very smart. They get bored with what they're doing, and they start to misbehave. But if we can keep these kids disciplined and give them the motivation they need to try to be the best individuals they can be, if we can some kind of way to get that into their mindset, I think we'll be better off.
I'd like to say something 10 seconds. It's four or five things is very important. Number one is the family. Number two, it's between education, the schools, and then the church, and then the recreation, that's the community gathering. Those and the law enforcement is five, because the law enforcement is the last thing, because they're the governing body to make sure everybody don't cross over to the wrong side. But the family got to bridge everything. And the next is really the church. But we set a school because we got so many denominations, and sometimes they differ. That's why I put them three. But you got to stay like that, and then we got to stay together.
Well, I agree with
all
you,
right.
Mr. Galloway.
All right. I just want to jump in because we are coming to the very end of our show, and, of course, as we all have realized, that this has been another awesome, very lively show. What I'd like to do is, as we wrap up, allow Dan and then Steve and then our guest any last words or comments as we wrap up. Dan, Steve, and then Ms. Shaq.
Thank you, and I'm really appreciative that Shaq is here because of I've known him. He's one of my special students. I think that we are missing next Sunday, but we're going to talk about in the headlines today about the kids. They're going to send the kids back to school. Now, we're going to talk about whether it's better to stay because of the pandemic, do it like Steve and everybody on TV, or what. But we got to work together to make sure everybody is safe, and we cannot allow the kids not to be tutored. Like with our educational program, our tutorial program that Steve and two other teachers are doing every 4 days a week. I'm finished. God bless you. Have a nice holiday.
Well, I just want to say to Shaq, we've never known each other personally, but growing up in Riviera Beach, I've of course have known of you, and I know that you have you know, just always been a positive role model, and I appreciate the work that you've put in to make a positive difference in the lives of our children. And I think that we just have to just keep doing those things that we know we should be doing.
Okay, and thank you so much. And I'd like to thank you and Ms. Ann for inviting me to share a little bit of my thoughts. And I do appreciate it. And I want you to continue to do what you're doing and help expose to our community that the things that we can do together to be helpful from education on to other parts of our lives.
Thank you very much. Ann, you gone?
Yes. No. I'm right here with John. I want to thank John for also co-hosting with us today as he begins to learn how to do this. And as the time go on, of course, we'll look to have more millennials on the show as they talk about their past, their present, and what the future holds for them. But we want to thank our caller. Thank you so very much, my co-host, Dan Calloway, always, and Steve White, phenomenal. And Mr. Leonard, thank you so very much for everything that you've done, everything you're doing, and, of course, your family as you continue to be the model for so many. And with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show, and we will see everybody back the first Sunday in January. And until then, remember, hashtag I am Revere Beach. Please comment, like, and share the show. Everybody have a good day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.